You are listening to Things I'd Never Say with me, Lindsay Lewis, and my baby, who is currently sleeping on my chest. Why is it called Things I'd Never Say? Because I believe we have two sides of us. One side is the side that is wise and enlightened and spirit-tuned and intuitive and very peaceful and calm and filled with love. I have that a lot in my life. And then we have this other side, and this is definitely including me, that is small and scared and sometimes really petty or jealous or insecure or the flip side, really conceited, egotistical. I have that too. and I spent a lot of my life cultivating the other side, the calmer, more loving, wiser, grace-filled side. And that's a wonderful place to live from. I highly recommend it. I support people through my coaching practice and accessing that place inside themselves, and they see the results in their life. And this podcast is not that. This podcast is about the other side, the side that doesn't often get a voice, at least for me in my life, and that I think we can sometimes all feel that we can't give a voice to. So that's why it's called Things I Would Never Say, because these are things I typically, you know, not voice in the average conversation, as particularly in my work. And I think and I hope that it resonates with people who may feel the same, that this can be a space for them to hear someone speak from that other side that doesn't know what the frick she's doing. I started this podcast when I had a baby as a way to satiate my insatiable need to create, and also because in the early days I sat on the chair, our big chair, a lot, nursing her or soothing her, and she was crying and I was crying. She would cry and I would cry because it was overwhelming. I felt alone. I felt stuck. I felt like I didn't know what to do. And I went and turned to podcasts during those moments as a way to just have something else going on other than trying to navigate this new space that I felt so overwhelmed by. And as I was listening to these podcasts on comedy or books or Oprah's Super Soul Sunday or, you know, lots of other subjects, I realized, I imagined other women with their new babies doing the same thing. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we all had something to listen to from somebody who was sharing her experience that we could resonate with, and we wouldn't feel so stuck or alone, or we'd feel heard. So for all of those reasons, I decided to start to do this. And this is the podcast number two. And whether you are a parent or a mom or a dad, this podcast is also for you. And eventually the subject matter will evolve beyond what is happening with me and baby. And I hope and my intention is that it remains a place that holds up the integrity behind Things I'd Never Say, which is me showing up honestly, vulnerably, authentically, speaking from the place inside that I think we all have that sometimes is small, scared, alone, jealous, petty, and voicing those things so we all can all know that we're human. It's okay. We got it. It's okay. We're human. So it's time to seg, actually. It's time to seg into what's happening right now. What's been going on currently for me in my world and my life. And that is the category that we talk about next. So I've been thinking a lot, And I think that what I've been thinking about is a microcosm of a macrocosm. It is a moment in my life specific to a particular subject, which is having a baby and being a mother, that is related to other moments in other people's lives, maybe in your life, when something new has come along that has caused you to feel an insurmountable, or possibly an insurmountable, amount of pressure to perform or be or create a certain outcome. I have been thinking about the pressure to be a great mom and to have an amazing baby. And it has been fascinating just in these few short weeks when I've been able to get out with her to see the reaction of other people when she cries. There's this glaring, there can be this judgment, there can be this real, I don't know what's going on inside their heads. Certainly it's not a positive, loving wave coming at me from these other people, and they tend to be women. It's something I wasn't expecting, because I have done a lot of fierce commitment to letting myself be who I am and do what I am and step away from social pressure. And so I sort of had in my head this vision that I would just be strolling along, sort of immune to what people think I should do or should be as a mom in this, or as somebody in this new role in my life, which now I find kind of funny, because I recognized that I was also doing it to myself in these early weeks. Let's say within the first 3.5 to 4, she's now just over a month old, I got such a bad crick in my neck that I could really only look to the left about an inch. And that was because I had disconnected so much from my own self, from my own body, in the effort to just have her be okay. You know, so anytime I was holding her or nursing her or soothing her, there was no awareness of how my posturing, my position was impacting me at all. So it got to the point where there was so much pain in my neck and my upper back that I couldn't look to the left more than an inch. And so then, in addition to having to navigate all the other new stuff, I was trying to fit in appointments with a massage therapist and my husband, a chiropractor, to fix me so I could continue nursing and soothing and being with my baby. And nobody was even around during those days, you know, other than our support team and our loving, caring people in our lives. Nobody was around to say to me, Lindsay, you have to do this. You have to sacrifice your ability to move in order to have your baby thrive. That came from me. It was very instant, the moment I decided to stop thinking about myself and only focus and think on her. And it cost a lot. It caused me a lot of physical pain. It caused me mental anguish. It caused me to be unable to sleep, even when she was totally fine. And so it's coming back in little bits, but I do feel like I've started to move through it. I'll share more about that. Another close person in my life, a woman that is a close family member of mine, shared with me that when she first had her baby, she got to the point where she was seeing all these weird flashes of light behind her closed eyes. There's darkness all around and then weird flashes of light. And she thought she was going crazy. She thought she was going insane. She went to see the doctor, and the doctor said, no, you are just so seized up in your neck and your back from this position you've been holding as you nurse and hold and carry and soothe your baby, that you are now getting extreme migraines. And that's what these are. These are just like migraines taking you over. because she'd been so disconnected from her own experience and so immersed in only focusing on this little being. And it's just fascinating to me. The more that I talk to other women, the more they share those same stories. And it's been interesting to think about how we put that pressure on ourselves to have a certain outcome. And I think that happens in all arenas of our life, and it certainly has been happening in this one in mine. And I know I'm not alone in that. And it's been fascinating to think about that it just doesn't come, it doesn't always just come from outside sources. We do it to ourselves too. I think about the outside sources though as well. They have come in. There certainly is pressure to have baby be a certain way, and there's lots and lots of opinions coming at us all the time about what we need to do as moms. I went and dropped into a mom group this week, and one of the women who was there sort of facilitating said, you know, when you become a mom, you become public property. It's like you become public property, and every time you're out in the role as a mom, people will feel they have a right to comment on whatever it is you're doing, whether it's your body or your how you're interacting with your baby or how you're doing things for yourself or not doing things for yourself. You become a public property. So that has been very interesting to navigate as well. So I had an experience last week where I finally started to feel relaxed. I went to see my husband, got a chiropractic treatment. I walked there from our home, which takes about just less than an hour, and it's a beautiful walk. I got a treatment. I walked back, had a little monkey with me in the stroller. It was a beautiful day. I got a drinking chocolate, which if you know me, is just like the highlight of my life. Anytime I can get a little chocolate into my veins. and for the first time since having her, I started to feel relaxed. She's just adjusting herself right now. I started to feel relaxed, like all was well. And I noticed how that impacted her. I noticed how it impacted how calm she was, how much more easily she nursed, how much more relaxed she seemed to be in terms of every moment of every day. I noticed how it impacted my sleep. So suddenly, I had allowed myself to take care of myself, to do things that bring me joy, and they are small things. Guys, I don't need big things. I just, you know, a drinking chocolate and walking a beautiful pathway on a gorgeous day in the sun. That's it for me. I like a lot of other things too, but those things are huge. And so I'd allowed myself to do that. And I had made sure I was going to make it happen. I had gotten exercise and everything got better. Of course. And so these days, in this past week, I have been making that mandatory. It is no longer an option to ignore the needs of my mind and my body. And I'm taking a stand for that. And let me tell you, things in our household have really improved. Suddenly, my days feel more spacious. My world feels more spacious. My mind feels more spacious. I am sleeping. Hallelujah. Matt is more relaxed. He's a happier guy. He hasn't had the wife he knows these past few weeks. So I have been doing that. And it also had me thinking about how what I've been labeling as the good days in our weeks really are dependent on me feeling competent. So if I feel competent, it's a good day. If I feel like I'm screwing up, if I'm not making this work, if I'm not doing a good job, that was not a good day. And how do I define competency? Turns out it's when my baby's happy, when she doesn't cry. That's why taking her out is an added pressure, because when she cries, I start to judge myself and imagine judgments from other people. Of course, this is kind of a impossible measure if I'm labeling a good day based on feeling competent, which is based on my baby not crying. That's a losing game, because babies cry. So it made me think on a bigger scale about ways we might ask ourselves to measure up to the impossible. And how impossible that is. And how much better our lives could be if we allowed ourselves to accept what is instead of trying to make it perfect. So I'm working on that this week. One of my girlfriends says, babies cry, that's just what they do. Another woman in my life says, I heard her say, I never want my baby to cry, ever. And I think I'm trying to be somewhere over on the more relaxed side of things, which is working. So that's what I've been doing this week. And here is what Mindy Kaling did this week.
Those of you who are new
to this, why do I include this? Like, what is up with this? Mindy Kaling, if you do not know, is, I think, because I have, not accessed her information in person. I've never met her in person. All of this information I'm about to share with you is from the insider scoop I get from her highly private and only available to select hundreds of thousands of people Instagram feed. I include this because she's somebody who I find funny, inspiring, and kind. I discovered that she was pregnant, as many other people did, because she is a public figure, around the same time as I was starting to think about getting pregnant. And then I've been watching her to see how she navigates having a baby, being the public figure, incredibly creative, powerhouse, very busy TV writer, now actor, woman that she is. So she had delivered her baby in December, as far as I know. And this is what she did this week. She apparently learned her lines for the new movie she's in with Emma Thompson. She hung out with Emma Thompson for the new movie she's doing with her. She appeared on the cover of Elle magazine. She had her new limited series, which is a TV adaptation of Four Weddings and a Funeral, picked up by Hulu. She appeared on the cover of Elle magazine again, the India edition. That's how she's navigating having a 4-month-old baby. This week, I had that drinking chocolate. I went for a walk. I did my hair. And that is how I am navigating having a new baby this week. So if you're feeling incredibly inspired by that, you are so welcome. You're so welcome. I'm going to close by sharing what I'm learning about myself. Why do I include this category? Because it helps me not go crazy. Helps me watch myself and see myself instead of be in all of the crazy town thoughts that can come up in my brain. I am learning that I must create something. I've got to create something like this podcast. I'm learning that things that took me an hour before baby can be done in much less time. And that if I go off into the deep end, which I really felt like I did in those early weeks, that I can come back, that I am coming back. And I also learned that Nutella can solve everything.